All right. Good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So cool. Kids, you may make your way that way. Brother Matthew is standing eagerly waiting for you over there. For everybody else, we're going to be looking at Psalm 118 this morning. I'm so excited to get a chance to share with you. So it's really fun. We have a weird, maybe it's weird. We have a weird tradition in our house that started the last few years. So because of the end of October and trunk or treat, October is just a hectic, chaotic time, and it kind of like snowballs, avalanches into the beginning of November in our house. So usually midway through November, my two youngest daughters, like, can we decorate today? Can we decorate? And me, I think that's awful. I'm like, the house looks great as it is. Let's just leave it this way forever. However, my wife, fortunately, she likes to decorate, especially with my two younger daughters, because they love to decorate. And so they decorated yesterday. It's a beautiful tradition. I do enjoy going in and like seeing the cool fall stuff. It's really fun. It lasts for 2 weeks, and then we decorate for Christmas because we wait till the middle of November to decorate for fall. But lots of fun. We love our traditions. There's something about them. Christmas is coming. We have traditions surrounding that. Growing up, one of our traditions around Thanksgiving for many years was to go see a movie. It started with either Empire Strikes Back or one of the Star Trek movies. I can't remember which one, but I saw it with my dad and my brother, and it was kind of this thing. We saw a movie on Thanksgiving, and as we got older and had kids, we don't do that anymore because, well, movies are expensive, and I don't love my children nearly as much as my dad adored me. So we watch a movie at home where it's cheaper, or I'll go to a movie with my wife, and the kids can stay home. That's a good idea. We love our traditions. Like I said, Christmas is coming. People have Christmas traditions. When I talk to people and they're getting ready to get married, I always tell them, you need to find out what are the important traditions for the person you're getting married. Because my poor wife, our first year of marriage, which you can ask her about later, she was in tears over a missed tradition that I totally missed. Because for my family, not a tradition. For her family, huge traditional value. And so, but there's something about traditions. We love them. There's a connection that they bring, even bad traditions. Sometimes we change a tradition, we create a new tradition because we're like, I don't want this tradition anymore. I want it to change. And so we form new traditions because there is a connection there to memories, sometimes fond, sometimes not. But we have this connection to memories. There's connection to family. As we do things, I love Christmas. One of my favorite Christmas traditions for me growing up, which we don't do anymore, but Christmas reminds me of there, and it's got all those good feels to it, is I would sit upstairs at our house, and the lights all off in the house except for the Christmas lights, and we had a light outside that would shine when it was snowing, and I'd take my mom's Time Life Treasury of Christmas record out, and I'd put it on the record player, and I'd play the Time Life Treasury of Christmas music while I sat and watched the snowfall. So like Christmas, that is like the thought that goes through my head every time around Christmas. This is a beautiful tradition for me. It brings back all these fond, wonderful memories. A lot of times, traditions, they help connect us to a story that's bigger than ourselves. We remember, oh, hey, this is like a piece of something bigger. And so this morning, we're actually, because it connects us to community, we're going to look at a Psalm 118 that actually has a lot of tradition tied to it. As I was getting ready for this, I was like, okay, what's that? I get to speak before Thanksgiving. I should speak on something Thanksgiving-ish. And what's Thanksgiving-ish? And so I was like, I need some ideas. And so I was like, okay, Bible Thanksgiving. First thing that pops up, Psalm 118. I was like, oh. And I looked it up. I was like, oh, yeah, I like this. This is a good one. So let's do that one. And so for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about a different type of Thanksgiving. And so this psalm has a lot of tradition tied to it. It's actually a part of the Psalter, the book of Psalms in the Bible, also known as the Psalter, the song book. And so it is the last of the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. So there's a good information for you. At the end of our summer series, Pastor Dave actually shared from Psalm 115, which is part of the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. He shared a little bit about it, but just to remind you, so Psalm 113 to Psalm 118 are what are called the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. That word Hallel is part of the word Hallelujah, which we say in church. That's a good churchy word, which essentially, basically means praise the Lord. So some of the Psalms, Psalm 113 starts with, some translations will say praise the Lord. Some translations will say hallelujah. And so there, if you didn't know that, when we sing songs and we say hallelujah, we're saying praise the Lord. And so, and they're called the Egyptian Hallel songs because they reference many things back to the time of the Exodus from Egypt. And so they kind of reference that stuff. And as a group, they are used in many contexts throughout, in the Jewish world, they're used through several celebrations, especially Passover time. All six Psalms, 112 through 118, are set around the Passover meal. In fact, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus, it says they sang a hymn and went up to the Mount of Olives, chapter 26 of Matthew. More than likely, they sang Psalm 118 because it's sang at the end of the Passover meal. And so in Matthew 26, when it talks about them singing, they probably sang Psalm 118. According to the Babylonian Talmud, which was a 5th century Jewish writing, they used it during, the Feast of Weeks, Festival of Tabernacles, Hanukkah, Passover. So these Psalms were said a lot, and they were so ingrained into the community, and we know that when things are ingrained, they kind of pop out of our mouth in our writings and things like that, or emails, texts, all that stuff, all the time, because it's a part of us. And so the early church incorporated pieces of this. In fact, Psalm 118, of its 29 verses, 18 of them are either quoted directly or indirectly throughout the New Testament. Two of the most famous ones is as the entrance of Jesus enters into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the people said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That is a quote from Psalm 118. In fact, it's the only place in the Old Testament where those words, because it's two words. Hosanna is actually two Hebrew words. It's the only place they're put together like that. And so it's Psalm 118. They're saying, hey, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, which is save us. And another famous one is Cornerstone. And Jesus in one of the Psalms one of his parables, he says that he is the stone that the builders rejected. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. That comes from Psalm 118 and Isaiah 23. And so it's a huge thing. It's also, it has seeped its way into Christian tradition throughout our history. If you did a Google search of songs that are Psalm 118, you will come up with hundreds of them just titled Psalm 118. But there's also songs we sing. If you grew up in church at all, older one, you might have heard a song, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. That's from Psalm 118. So Psalm 118, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Christ alone, cornerstone, Psalm 118. So it's kind of like seeped its way. There's all kinds of great pieces and traditions and feelings attached to it. In fact, Martin Luther, the reformer who lived at the latter part of the 15th and 16th centuries, said this. He said, this is my own beloved psalm. Although the entire Psalter and all of Holy Scripture are dear to me and my only comfort and source of life, I fell in love with this psalm especially. Therefore, I call it my own. And so we're going to take a couple of weeks and unpack Psalm 118 and see what God can teach us about who he is, his love for us, and how we, as his followers, can live in that love and thrive in that love. And so, and our big idea we're going to talk about the next 2 weeks is, it is in our weakness, not our strength, that we learn how strong God is to save us. It is in our weakness, not our strength, that we learn how strong God is to save us. So what I want to do here is I'm going to read the psalm to you. But before we do, I want to give you kind of a little bit of context. As I said, it's part of the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. So they don't know specifically, but they believe it was kind of assembled with the other psalms. So the little Bible history here, the people of Israel were in slavery in Egypt, and God rescued them and brought them out, and they had their kingdom of Israel, and they had a civil war and split, and they turned their backs on God and the covenant, and eventually the Assyrians came out and took out the northern kingdom, and the Babylonians came out and took out the southern kingdom, and they were in captivity. And so you get a lot of the Psalms and the prophets and books of Kings and Samuel talk about all that stuff in the Old Testament. And the prophets are like, hey, you're going to get to go back. Well, Cyrus, the king of the Medes and the Persians, said, hey, you can go back. They went back and built their temple. And so they believe these Psalms were put together as part of the dedication for the temple. And so they're back in the land. They're not exactly where they wanted to be, because they are back in the land, but they are still vassals to the Assyrians, or to the Medes and the Persians. I'm hoping to get all my history right there, but they're vassals to a foreign power, in which they go from them to the Greeks to the Romans. And so they've got this, all this, they're always servants to a foreign power. But they recall and remember the things that God has done, knowing his goodness and his faithfulness will last. And so this psalm reflects that. And so imagine for a moment with me, you are back there in the 500s, 600s, whatever, and 400s BC, and you're with the group of people, and they're dedicating the temple, and you're outside the temple, and you've got the worship leader, the priest, saying, hey, everybody, you know, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. And he starts calling different people, you know, let these people say, his love endures forever. Let these people say, his love endures forever. Let these people say, his love endures forever. And then you begin to talk and sing about God's love and how, what it looks like, how it endures forever. And the energy and the excitement is building, because everybody is standing at the gates waiting to get in. They're so excited. And then they're like, open the gates and let us in. And like the righteous may enter. And so they come in knowing that they are righteous because of the work that God has done. And they're able to enter because of who God is. And they go in and they're ready to do this. And it ends with, give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever. So imagine that as I read this, just picture that is the framing for this psalm and the picture that it is painting. So Psalm 118 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord, and he brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surround me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and I will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. That's Hosanna. Lord, save us. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. What a great psalm. I love that. I have to keep drinking water or I'm going to lose my voice. And that would be sad. So, possibly. Then Pastor Dave will just come up here and he can read all the notes. What did I mean? So I said I wanted to call the next 2 weeks a different type of Thanksgiving. And what do I mean by that? Well, for us, a lot of times, Thanksgiving, giving thanks, is a transactionary event. You know, we teach our kids this from a very young age. Somebody does something for them. What do you say? Thank you. Please say your please and thank you. Say please. Say thank you. It's a transaction. Something happens, and I say thank you. The thing is, the biblical model of Thanksgiving, of giving thanks, is more than just transactionary. It's a recognition of the depth of need, our own helplessness to provide that need, and the greatness of God to deliver. So the biblical model of Thanksgiving is like, okay, I have a need, and I know that God can provide that need. And so in anticipation of who He is, I am crying out to Him, and I'm thanking Him at the same time. And it's as we recognize this that we are able to thank Him, to give thanks to the Lord. And we know that the more we recognize our needs, so babies, we had a couple babies in the first service, lots of fun, they were very well behaved. But babies, when they have a need, what do? They cry. Children, when they have a need, what do? Sometimes they cry, sometimes they start, mom, 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 mom. Taught my children that one from a young age. Mom, 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 mom. You know, we have a need, we go to the one who will provide that need, or we believe will provide that need, and we, in a sense, cry out to Him. We do that as adults too, but we're politer for the most part. Although I got, you know, like my daughter, she's experiencing this. She works at Applebee's, and she's experiencing what happens when people with needs come into a restaurant and they aren't able to sit down right away. They're not always nice because they have this need welling up in them to eat some fried food. And they got this need and they need it filled now. And so, but we do this. We have a need and we express to the one who will provide that need what it is we need. And so the biblical model of Thanksgiving says, yes, that is true. And we thank God for all He provides, but that's a part of the Thanksgiving, recognizing He is the one to whom we can go to. He is the one who provides, who is good and cares for us and loves us. And so it's all kind of wrapped in together. And as He provides and cares for us, we respond. Jesus kind of would say it this way. He says, those who have been forgiven much, love much. As we recognize how much we've been forgiven, we're able to love God more. As we recognize who I am, and who God is and all that He does for us and through us and in us, we are able to love Him more and show His love more to those around us because we recognize who we are in relationship to Him. And so we want to, as we approach this different type of Thanksgiving, I want to look at Psalm 118 because this is a beautiful picture of this. And so to begin with, I want to look at the frame. So, you notice the first and last verses of Psalm 118 were, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever. And it ends with, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever. So the biblical authors, what they would do is they would, when there's something they want you to notice, they'll frame it with identical things, often are very similar, so that you'll start to pay attention to the stuff in the middle and see how it applies to the end. Pastor Dave does this every week in his sermons, doesn't he? He starts off the sermons like, this week we're going to think around the idea of, in our weakness, not our strength, that we learn how strong God is to save. And then at the end of his sermon says, that's why we say, it is in our weakness, not our strength, that we recognize how strong God is to save. He frames the entire sermon around these big ideas, which is what I do. And so like I keep saying it over and over again so that you will kind of get it in your head and recognize all the pieces that are going around all deal with that idea. So the biblical authors do the same thing. And so the psalmist in Psalm 118 has provided us a framework. Everything within the psalm is reflecting this whole idea of give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever. And so what I want to do this week is just look at the frame a little bit. Next week, we'll kind of unpack the inside of it as it brings more light to the frame. But I want to look at the frame, and I want to look at three ideas with the frame. And so we're going to look at a couple Hebrew words. And before we did that, I thought it'd be good to say, so because a lot of times we get these questions, like when we start looking at, like, why are you looking at the Hebrew word? You know, which Bible is a good translation? Things like that. If you're reading your Bible, any translation is a good translation. Just please read your Bible. So anytime you're dealing with a different language, there are problems with translating. It doesn't matter if you're going from Hebrew to English or Russian to Algerian or Spanish to English. In fact, there are English words that we have that are hard to translate, like the addition that words we put, ish. When we say things like, well, I need you there at 7-ish. And so you start to translate that word, and you're like, okay, well, is that 7? You don't need them there at 7-ish? I've been told that the word cheesy is a hard one to translate. I could say, oh my goodness, that was so cheesy, and you all understand that. Hard concept to translate into another language. Or gobbledygook, I don't know how many of you use that word or ever have used that word. It's a difficult word to translate into another language. So we have that. We've got, you know, and so as we look at this, I want to kind of look at these words, these ideas that the psalmist is presenting in the opening of this and closing of this psalm, as we unpack it to kind of see what God is wanting to teach us about who he is. And so the beginning of it is, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks. And so the word give thanks is actually one word in Hebrew. It's hoda. You say that, hoda. Hoda comes from the word yada, which comes from the word yad. So yad is hand. Yada is where we get our word praise. So in your Bibles, if you ever read the word praise the Lord, it's the word yada, usually. So there's a couple other words that translate as praise, but that's one specifically. Yada. It has to do with your hand. And hoda is the same idea as that, where we say, because some of your translations will say, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, confess to the Lord, all these different things, because it's a full idea. And so, but it's more than just a declaration of our mouths. It's bigger than that. So it's start off with, give thanks to the Lord is an imperative. Now, so for those of you who love English, an imperative is essentially a command. It's like, hey, do this. You need to do this. This is important. Do this. You know, we tell somebody, hey, this has got to be done. Do this. You know, I tell my kids, hey, take out the trash. It stinks. You know, do that. It's, you know, it's an imperative. It's a command. And so the psalmist is like, hey, give thanks to the Lord. Do this. It's important. But this, like I said, this whole idea of giving thanks is not just like what we say, because we, you know, a lot of times we'll come and we'll say, okay, we thank you, Lord, thank you, God. But like I said, it's attached to our hand. It's attached to not just what comes out of our mouths, but what we do with who we are, our entire being. It is an action thing, giving thanks. It flows from our words and it flows from our actions. That all that we do, all that we are, is to give thanks. And what it does as we do this, because remember, this psalm, as it was framed and put together for the ceremony, the people of Israel were not in a place where they necessarily wanted to be entirely. Things were not how they expected it to be. And yet they're like, hey, you give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His love endures forever. Do this. This is important. Because one of the things it does as we do this, it begins to affect us. If you've been around a while, you'll hear one of the illustrations, I think it's great, Pastor Dave uses, is talks about when things are going bad and wrong and awful, we start to close in on ourselves and kind of like get small and can't think of anything outside of ourselves. But doing the action of giving thanks to the Lord takes us out of sight of ourselves and begins to like help us see the bigger picture of the things around us. So it helps us. But it doesn't just help us, it also helps the community that we are in, the church, the people of God. Because as we give thanks to the Lord, it has this ripple effect to those around us. You think of like, they say a smile is contagious. So you smile at somebody and they smile back, and it's that same idea. I mean, like, so here we'll have a little experiment here. So because I said that the psalm starts off, let Israel say is leavened just forever. Let the house of Aaron say. And so imagine for a moment here. So I'm going to say, let these people say, and you guys, so I'm going to go like, you know, let the left side say, and they're going to go, his love endures forever. And then I'm going to go, let the right side say, his love endures forever. Let all the people in the middle say, his love endures forever. So, you guys ready? His love endures forever. That's your entire line. His love endures forever. And so, you got this? You're good? Okay, I don't want to be complicated. So, you know, I said, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let everybody on the left say,
his love endures forever.
Let everybody on the right say, all the people in the middle say, everybody online say, all the men say, all the ladies say, let everyone that has breath say, his love endures forever. You see, as we begin to actively declare who God is, it affects not just us, it affects those around us. But then as we live that out, as we don't just declare it with our mouths, but act out that giving thanks, it affects the communities we live in. Because when the world is going bad and things are going awful and we have that focus of God's goodness and his love, people notice. They notice so much. This is why the Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:15 where he says, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have in you. Because he knows people are going to notice. When Jesus is in you, people notice. Because they're supposed to notice. And so, Hoda, give thanks to the Lord. The next section is, for he is good. Now, if you've been coming on Wednesday nights to our Bible Engagement Project, I mentioned this several times. I talk about how as you read the Bible, and this is for everybody here, as you read the Bible, there are ideas and concepts that are introduced early on that are followed throughout scriptures. One of the big ones is it's introduced in the Garden of Eden. One of the big ones is the whole idea of good and bad. We have the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And as you read scripture, you see and learn that God is the source of knowledge of good. What we know, what we need to know, comes from him. He is good. As he gives the people the book of the law, it is described as good. In fact, Psalm 113 to 118, are actually framed by two other psalms, 119 and 112. And both those psalms have to do with the law of the Lord and how good it is. And so as they're focusing on this, these pieces within it, framed on the outside of those are the goodness of the law that God has given us on how he loves us and how we are to love each other. That God is the source of good. So that the writers of the Bible will say, you know, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. That he is good. In fact, Micah, the prophet Micah writes, he says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. God has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? What is it that's good? Well, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. That's what's good. To treat people well and love God well. God is the source of good. So as the psalmist is like, okay, so give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because he is good. And I know it's so interesting because we get these questions that people are like, okay, and this is a popular question. If God is good, then why this? And I love it because if you our Kingdom Builder series that we just came out of, but Pastor Dave kind of unpacked this. He's like, you know, God is good, and his solution, his good solution, is all of us, all y'all and me. We are his solution of showing his goodness to the world. He gave us Jesus, and through his people, we are to show his goodness to the world so that the world can know him through his people. He is good. And so making that statement, declaring, you know, okay, I will with everything in me, I will give thanks to the Lord because he is good. I can trust him. I can look to him. I can hope in him. He is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The last one is for his love endures forever. This is my favorite one. His love endures forever. If that whole like four words in English is just like two words in Hebrew, and it's like forever love. It's like an exclamation point. Forever love. Forever love. It is such a huge statement. So the word that we translate as forever love. Or enduring love. Excuse me. I might need more water. Because, well, nobody wants me to lose my voice. The word that we have that is enduring love is chesed, which is a fun word to say, especially if you got a cough or something. Chesed. It kind of clears the throat a little bit, helps out with that. Chesed. The whole idea behind chesed is so much fun. It is a... It is translated as many things throughout Scripture. It's one of those words, like cheesy, that are hard to translate because it carries so much cultural, bless you, my child, cultural pieces to it. It is. It combines the idea of mercy, kindness, love, and faithfulness. It takes these ideas of love and generosity and enduring commitment and puts them together in one word. And then, so that we can understand that word, it is illustrated throughout the biblical narrative. So, if you're familiar at all with the story of Ruth. Ruth's husband died culturally. She could go back to her family because, well, her mother-in-law has nothing to offer her, and her mother-in-law Naomi is headed back to her land. She's like, go back to your family. You can go. It's fine. And the story of Ruth shows Ruth's selfless love that she shows to her mother-in-law, giving without any expectation of anything in return. That is described as chesed. Another example would be Jacob in Genesis, where Jacob, who lies and cheats and his whole countenance is deceptive and stuff like that, his encounter with God and God's love for him despite Jacob's actions is described as chesed. God himself is described as chesed when the people of Israel, he got these people together, they just broke their contract. They broke the agreement they had with God, and he forgives and shows them chesed. He shows them committed love. It has more to do with the person giving it than the person receiving it, because it is it's a love motivated by generosity and enduring commitment. It's an act of promise keeping motivated by deep personal care. It's because of this love that in John chapter 3:16 we read that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would have life. Jesus is the ultimate example of chesed because he came to this world, gave himself out of love, and surrendered himself to death on a cross out of love. And so this whole idea of give thanks to the Lord for he is good, his love endures forever. It is an unending love, commitment, faithfulness that God has. It is why the writer of Hebrews can write in Hebrews chapter 13, he can say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because it is an enduring thing. And so that we can honestly go to say, I can give thanks to the Lord because he is good and his love, his chesed, is everlasting. It is nonstop, faithful, dependable, no matter what we can Look to him. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It's great because these verses, they kind of frame this psalm. And then as you go through the psalm, it begins to unpack it. And it has been described as like a one writer described it. It says it's like an English cathedral. It took generations to build, but it tells one story. And the psalm, it's got so many pieces reflecting God's love. Little nuggets that is the more you meditate upon Scripture, like, oh, they're referencing the song of Moses in the book of Exodus. Oh, they're referencing this about David and Samuel. Oh, they're referencing this. You know, talking about these different pieces, and it's reflecting upon this is how God's love endures forever. This is how God is good. This is why we can give thanks. And it encourages, and I love it because it's specific without being super specific, so that as you're reading, you're like, yeah, I know what it's like to be constrained on every side, to feel like I'm suffocating. But I remember God brought me to a place where I can breathe. And so now that I'm in that place again where I feel surrounded, like bees surrounding me, I know that he will provide for me again. I'm not sure when, I'm not sure how, but I know that I can trust him to do it again. I know that, you know, there have been times in my life that I have been pushed so hard that I was going to fall. And God helped me. And I know that he can do it again. And then when you're in that place and you're like, hey, friend over here, I know you're in a place right now where it feels like you're surrounded on every side, like the walls are closing in. You can trust God because he will bring you to a broad place, a spacious place, a place where there is life. So this is why we do church together, we do life together, because we're all at different places. And when we together say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love is everlasting, his love is eternal, his love is faithful, and it is because of his love that we can cry out, Hosanna! Lord, save us, because we know that we can go to him, the giver of life. So what I want to do this morning is Rachel's going to come up and she's going to play some music. And I know that, like I said, we're all at different places with this. And what I want to do is I'm going to have my wife here in a few minutes. She's going to read the psalm again. But I want to take a moment. I want to pray for you, because I know we're all at different places. Some of us feel like we're in the broad place. Everything's going great. Some of us feel like we're in a valley so narrow that I can't even breathe. I am surrounded on all sides from top, bottom, and left and right, front and back. And yet, we can give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever, and he will bring us and he will guide us, and he is our strength even when the world is crushing us from every side. We can depend upon him because of his faithful, enduring love. So I want to pray for you this morning. And after we pray for you, I just want you to listen to the words of the psalm. Ask God to speak to you this morning. And maybe you're in a place that you're like I said, you're feeling like, ah. Just hear the words of the psalm and know that he is with us. And maybe as you read this, you can think of people in your own life. You're like, you know what? I need to talk to this person because I know they're going through a hard time. They need some encouragement. They need to be reminded that God's love endures forever. He's with them. Because God's good plan involves us showing his love to the world. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are good, that your love is everlasting, We thank you so much for that. That we can trust in it, hope in it, that we know that you are good. Just right now, with everybody's head bowed, and just if you are here this morning, you're like, hey, I'm in that tight place right now. I need somebody to pray for me. I want to pray with you. If you want to raise your hand, I just want to lift you up in prayer. All right, you see that? Anybody else? Yeah, see that. Father, you see the hands, you know the hearts, you know the lives, you know what's going on. And Lord God, we pray that in this moment that you would, that your Spirit would provide the peace and comfort that's needed, the strength. That even in the midst of the storms and the constricting of life, that you would remind us that you are there. Even in the dark, you are with us. You are our strength and our guide, our ever-present help in times of trouble. I thank you so much for that. Now, Father, we just pray that even as we listen to the words of this psalm, that you would speak to our hearts, help us to be your good to this world. To help us to, with not just our lips, but with all of our actions, show your goodness to our families, to our neighbors, to our communities, to this world. Thank you for who you are and your enduring love.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look on in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victories resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Father, we thank you that your love endures forever. you are good. We just pray that as we go from here, that we would remember these words. They would ring in our hearts and just rest in our minds and our hearts. That you remind us constantly of your goodness. Help us to see it around us. And help us to show it to those we encounter. We thank you so much that you are with us. Thank you, Lord, that you are good and that your love endures forever. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you so much for being here today. I love this conversation. Like I said, next week we're going to dive a little deeper into some of the stories that expound upon this. So I hope to see you next week and at the progressive dinners this week. But as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and bring you peace. Go in his strength and his might and his enduring love this week, showing that love to everybody you encounter. God bless you. You are dismissed.